This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out. I'm speaking with Joe Lasard. He's the fiddler with the band Head for the Hills, and they are appearing as part of a holiday concert series at the Chardon Opera House on December 30th. Joe, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So would you give me the Cliff Notes version of how you came to become a professional musician?
Well, my personal version is a little, probably a little different. I imagine that we're all a little different than each other, but
yeah.
Mine being really that I come from a musical family. My mother is a cello teacher and orchestra conductor at the school that I graduated from in high school, and then my father was a record collector and just a music enthusiast. So the long and short of it is I was born into into this profession more or less, and
okay.
When I went into college as an art major, I quickly found out that I was playing 4 gigs a week and that I should maybe be studying something else. So that's basically okay. More or less how I found my way into the family trade.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. So how and when did Head for the Hills come together as a group?
We all met in 2003 when we started. We were all freshmen at Colorado State University at the time in Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all fresh out of high school, and I don't think any of us took a year off or anything. We all went straight from high school into college, and so we met each other there and kind of had a shared interest in some of these, you know, acoustic bluegrass type music, and just started playing, rehearsing in a very tiny dorm space for about the first year, and started slowly playing house parties, and then the next year started a little tour, and it's just been gaining momentum ever since.
Terrific. Thank you very much. The descriptor often used when someone is talking about your music is modern acoustic, but that's a bit abstract. Could you translate your sound into a vernacular we could all understand?
Yeah, we struggle with this a lot. So I think one of the reasons that we end up on things that descriptors that are abstract is because it's kind of hard to pigeonhole what we do exactly. I think I don't know if modern acoustic is the most apt description by any means. I think what we're getting at in using those words is, you know, really we're trying to avoid using the word bluegrass, I think is the main point there. We are, you know, we play instruments that are traditionally bluegrass instruments, and that is about as far as we are a bluegrass band. We play some traditional bluegrass stuff, but I think we're the modern acoustic term just really lends itself to us feeling like we're taking these acoustic instruments and taking cues from people who have, you know, played them in the past and are our, you know, main influences, but we're really putting a modern spin on it and doing what we want to do with the music and not feeling like we're beholden to traditional bluegrass or that we have to stick to a certain kind of sound. So basically I think that means that we're sort of an indie rock sounding rock and roll infused, you know, acoustic bluegrass based band. It's
wow.
Just hard for us to call ourselves a bluegrass band
okay.
when we, you know, play Ween covers and goofy, you know, modern rock stuff.
So how, in a way, I have to ask you this then, you know, harking back to the days when Sam Bush first showed up here and
right.
created, you know, Newgrass Revival, he sort of was confronted with the same challenge
right.
with some of the same explanations. So how are you different, again, from Newgrass Revival, for example?
Right. Well, I think a lot of that just is time and place. I mean, we are we are, you know, Newgrass Revival is a huge influence for us, and obviously being someone, you know, a band who kind of struggled with their own position within the bluegrass world, we definitely relate to that. I think we're an incredibly different band just, you know, via the fact that we're coming along more or less 20, 30 years later.
Right.
The fact that, you know, that we kind of grew up in this internet age where we were listening to everything and, you know, hip hop and funk and all, you know, punk rock and all this stuff growing up, I think will, you know, naturally informs a band to be quite a bit different than, you know, a band that maybe was similar to them 25, 30 years prior. So, I mean, we're definitely taking a lot of cues from bands like that. I think what makes us different is, you know, the fact that we're different people. We have a different set of musical interests, and we're growing up in such a time of variety that we end up representing that quite a bit within our band.
So, in a way, I could say you're part of a continuum that began with bluegrass, sort of became
right.
a different thing with Newgrass Revival, and is different all over again with your group.
Right. Yeah, we joke sometimes in saying it's almost like post-Newgrass.
Perfect. Perfect.
You know, something that followed that whole movement, but it's hard to say that, you know, yeah, we're trying to continue it in our own direction.
Perfect. Okay, but there is a history, and you stand on the shoulders of some of those guys, but you do it differently.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this sort of segues nicely into my next question. Could you name a couple of your musical heroes, and in what ways, if any, do you think Head for the Hills, or you in particular, have metabolized their sound and sort of filter it through, you know, the Head for the Hills filter, but still, you know, the echoes of their voices are in your head.
Right.
So who are those heroes?
Yeah, those, I think, collectively, the most obvious and, you know, kind of overarching heroes for us are, you know, bands like Hot Rise, Tony Rice Unit, David Grisman Quintet, John Hartford, a lot of those, you know, people who were like we were just talking about, not particularly concerned with carrying on a long-standing tradition of bluegrass. I think they're more interested in kind of putting their own spin on it.
Yep.
You know, especially groups like her, people like Grisman and Tony Rice that, you know, are putting a more jazzy spin on the bluegrass thing and kind of taking some of the tunes and the vocabulary from the jazz world and bringing that into, you know, playing that on acoustic instruments. That has been a huge influence on us, and we've definitely got, you know, it's pretty clear that those guys are an influence on us. You'll hear definitely like elements of, you know, Latin jazz and other kind of world musics that we've always been attracted to finding their way into our music. So I think those guys are really obvious in terms of how we've metabolized their sound, and it kind of shows, you know, we're forever in debt to a lot of these other newer groups too that like Leftover Salmon or Yonder Mountain String Band or any of those
right.
bands that really opened the door for, you know, the, if we want to call it post Newgrass or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But that a lot of those bands really made what we're doing currently possible. So,
okay.
You know, we owe a lot of our success to those guys as much as we do their, you know, older predecessors too. So we're basically just constantly influenced by anyone who is really kind of taken their own angle on the music and, you know, but still found a way to not abandon the roots.
Okay. Thank you. Can you take me back to the night that you first performed in Telluride at Fly Me to the Moon? How did it feel?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. We've been playing at Fly Me to the Moon for a long time. That last year was definitely a special feeling just because we had been basically, you know, waiting to be involved with Planet Bluegrass in some manner for years. So that was really exciting for us last year to actually do the official Nightgrass spot and get into Fly Me to the Moon when it was, you know, had been sold out for weeks at that point, and it was really packed, and it was incredible. I mean, I think for us, just having come to this, I mean, I think our guitar player is going on like 10 years coming to the festival. So I think for him and, you know, others of us who have been coming to Telluride Bluegrass for upwards of 5 years and almost a decade, for some of us, I think it felt pretty special to finally be involved with Planet Bluegrass and, you know, kind of get that approval a little bit. But it was an incredible night, and it was just really fun to play for the Telluride Bluegrass, the Bluegrass Festival crowd, you know, but we always love playing in Telluride regardless.
So, again, you gave me a transition. So let's talk about the next time you're going to come to play at Telluride at the Opera House over the holidays. Could you give just a quick teaser for your set? What's it going to be like?
Yeah, it should be really fun. Once again, we're really excited to play at the Sheridan Opera House. That's a venue we've seen so much incredible music be played in, and then we've never gotten on that stage. So we're really excited about that. So we've got, and it being a holiday New Year's-y type of show, we've got lots of new material and some, you know, I'm sure there'll be a few holiday-specific songs, and definitely probably a handful of kind of contemporary / 80s rock covers and stuff like that. There'll be a lot of fun. We'll just keep it really fun and lighthearted for that night.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with fiddler Joe Lasard from Head for the Hills. You should head to the Opera House when they're performing on December 30th, and it's part of the holiday concert series. Thank you, Joe, very much for joining me.
Thanks so much.